I started a new thing last night, huh? I started a message about new things. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it or you weren't here, I'd encourage you. You don't have to stop what you're doing right now, but I encourage you to go and take a listen to it. You know, as I said, Rosh Hashanah is one of the holy days, and it's observed on a Hebrew calendar by many different people by a couple of different names. Yom HaZeron, the day of remembrance, Yom Teruah, the day of sounding the shofar. And since it's a day that it's believed that this would be the first day of awe, the days of awe between now and Yom Kippur, the time that Adonai takes account of his creations, Yom Hadin, the day of judgment. So these days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they are the Yamin Noraim, days of awe, or high holidays. Through the holiday, although the holiday was established probably 6th century BCE, it doesn't show up in writing until the Mishnah is written down in the year 200 CE. Now, last night I spoke about the celebration of Rosh Hashanah and how it fit into the prophetic plan of salvation, because each one of the feast days of Adonai has a place to play in that plan of salvation that Adonai set up before the beginning of time. So if you didn't get to hear that, again, I'd encourage you, go find it on YouTube or our Facebook channel or even our website. So I started out that first of the two-part message with a discussion of what do we think of during Rosh Hashanah? You know, it's a New Year celebration. And because our thoughts of what's new may be different from Adonai's thoughts of what's new, we need to line up. Because our thoughts of what's new is not always the same. You know, I use that example of a car. That when we buy a new car, we think it's a new car. But you know, it's not really new. It's not, no one just invented the car for the first time. Even when we get a used car, it's new to us, but it doesn't mean it's new. It may be renewed. Maybe a car can be reborn. But, you know, Adonai will speak to us in certain ways, and it's supposed to help us. It's supposed to help things be easier to understand. Sometimes people still kind of confuse it, though. Still, you know, put their own spin on top of it and don't quite understand what's going on. So they still have trouble interpreting what's going on. Today, I want to get into a bit more about what new is. What's new to us? What's new to Adonai? How does he make things new? We heard yesterday that Adonai wants new things for us. But we also read in Ecclesiastes something about newness. Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been is what will be. And what has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. We read that there's nothing new. One of my core beliefs is that the truth is that's meant for us is also meant for him. There aren't two sets of rules, one for us and one for him. The things that are true for us are true for him. The rules we're supposed to follow, he does follow. Remember, his ways are higher. But nowhere in Scripture does it say his ways are different. The love that we're supposed to have is because he's already got it. The desires that we should have, what's best for all, is because those are his desires as well. Those should not be new things. They may be new to us, but they're not to him. So the question of what does Adonai consider new? And what are we to consider as new can be seen also in some traditional rabbinic writings. which give us a bit of insight into what it means to look at the words of Adonai and his promises as new. And regarding the verse in Deuteronomy 26, it says, "This day Adonai your God is commanding you to do these statutes and ordinances so that you are to take care and do them with all your heart and with all your soul." In a writing by Rabbeinu Baichai ben Asher, who lived in Spain between 1255 and 1340 was his life, he writes, "At this point, Moshe had been teaching the Torah for 40 years. How could he say, 'This day Hashem, your Elohim, commands you'?" Midrash Takuma answers, "The commandments should be beloved to you as if they were given today." Another Midrash notes Baichai say, derives a similar lesson from another verse, "They should be new in your eyes as if they were given at Sinai today." So Rabbi Baichai says that we are to look at the words of Adonai not as if they were written long ago, not as if they were written to a different people, but as if they were written to you today. He says that Moses was able to say that even after 40 years in the desert, that today you are given the instructions. That is why they are new to you. Yes, you knew of them, but you should be looking at the scriptures with new eyes. This is sort of what Jen was talking about during her drash as well. So when you look at them with these new eyes, you should have new excitement about this something new he's showing us. It's a new gift from Adonai each and every day when we read the scriptures. We know that sometimes this is not easy. We read and we reread scriptures, but we want to fall back on old thoughts, old ideas, old teachings, old understandings that we've had in the past. And as good as they have made, that they've been, we need to look at them with new eyes and with a new mind. Now, we don't disregard the things we've learned in the past. We don't disregard their truths. But we need to renew our thinking about them so that we can learn new things from them. We know that each piece of scripture has many things to teach. We're not to look at scripture and think that that was a long time ago. That was for them to learn, not for me to learn. Or, look, I already learned the one thing that scripture has to say. I rang that thing out. Maybe I got two new things out of it. I wrung it out. There's nothing new in there. The blessings of Adonai are new every morning, which means there are new things from each and every one of them every time we read scripture. We just need to be careful not to read untruths into them because of our desire to see new things. There's an American-born poet who spent most of her life living in England named Ruth Thainlight, who wrote a poem about experiences. Now, I read it within another commentary, and I did some searching, and I was unable to tell whether this is the full piece of just a short poem or just a stanza from another poem. But she's pretty prolific in her writing. She wrote this about experiences. "Nothing ever happens more than once. The next time is never like before. What you thought you learned doesn't apply. Something is different, just as real, for which you might be thankful after all." Now, I don't know where her spiritual walk is, but I do know that she does speak within these few lines a truth about newness in Adonai. The things that we're going through, those things, they may seem familiar, but sometimes they could seem the same, but they're not really the same. Same occurrences, same experiences that we've had before. But if for no other reason, they're different because our understandings are different. Our experiences are different. The things we've gone through are different. We're now different people than we were even just yesterday. Therefore, we have a new way of looking at something that's old. When we look at scriptures that say that Adonai will give a new covenant, such as when we read last night, Jeremiah 31 or Ezekiel 36, perhaps the world was looking for the wrong thing. Instead of a new covenant that the word says, which the world has not seen before, they should be looking for an already established covenant with new eyes to see it in a new way. The new thing that Adonai wants for you to have may not be a totally new covenant, but a new you to look at the new covenant, or a new you to look at the old covenant differently. Thus, it becomes new to you. Adonai tells us that he will be doing new things for us. For example, in 1 John, when the follower of Yeshua, the Apostle John, was giving instructions in his first letter he wrote to believers to be passed around to the congregations at the time, he paraphrased Yeshua when he wrote this after giving instructions about loving as Yeshua loved. 1 John 2:7. Loved ones, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, one you had heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word you have heard. Yet I am writing a new commandment for you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is fading and the true light is already shining. It's a funny sentence. John writes that he's not writing a new commandment, but an old one, but this old one is new, because it should be understood in a new way. It was not that he wanted the believers to stop observing the commandment to love as found in Torah, but to understand it in a relationship with Messiah, now that they have Messiah that's been revealed to them. And this new way of looking at it would make the old covenant new to them. This is what Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was writing about to the Colossians as well, to us even as well. He wanted them to keep their eyes on the things above for a good reason. He wrote this in Colossians 3. Therefore, it's actually not 3:1-10, but 3:1-4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the good things above, where Messiah is sitting at the right hand of God. Focus your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed in glory, with him in glory. He says, focus your mind on the things above. Or in other words, keep your eyes on the things of heaven. This means that we're to keep our lives aligned with what Adonai has already established. And this will give you a new look at the things of God. Now, unless you believe that This is hard to think that people believe this, but some do. Unless you believe that when Yeshua rose, he took the place in heaven and removed Adonai from the throne, that he took over. He didn't. He's one with the Father. When we look up to him, we're looking to see the same covenantal promise. There's no one who would think that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, took over for Yeshua here on earth, removing Yeshua's words. Or that Yeshua rose and he took over the Father and his throne. So why would we think that one covenant rose up and overtook an older covenant? It doesn't overtake the previous covenant. I know this sounds strange to some human ears, but in the spiritual world, new things are not because something takes over from the previous things, but because we have a new understanding of the old things. How then are we supposed to get this new understanding? Are we to do it on our own? No, of course not. Our minds really don't have the capacity to come up with new things. Only Adonai can do this for us. We cannot do it on our own, but with the help of the Ruach, the Spirit, and by the cleansing of the Messiah through the instructions of the Father, we are changed from old to new. There is nothing that we could do to cause ourselves to become new on our own. It's only by God that we are changed into new creations. Over and over again, we're told in scriptures that he will change us. Look at Ezekiel 36 and how Adonai tells us that he will that we will be changed into something new. Ezekiel 36, 24, starting there. For I will take you from the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you back to your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit with you. I will remove the stony heart from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Ruach within you. Then I will cause you to walk in my laws, so that you will keep my rulings and do them. The promise of being made new, of being renewed, is that our heart would be changed. It's not a promise to change our whole body or even our whole personalities. We are who we are. Only now we are with a heart of Adonai, a heart towards Adonai, a heart for Adonai. Kind of with our rough edges smoothed off a little bit. This is so that we can care more for others, even showing love above for others above ourselves. We are to allow him to do his part. Then, yes, we still need to do our part. We're told what our part is in Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Therefore, put to death what is earthly to you: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed. For that is idolatry. Because of such things, God's wrath is coming upon the sons of disobedience. At one time, you also walked in these ways, when you used to live in these ways. But now set them aside: anger, rage, malice, slander, and foul language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. After all, You have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self that is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. For there to be something new within us, there must be something that was put to death. The old self, the old way, must die for the new self and the new way to come in. They are not able to coexist. It's as if the new self says, I'll wait till the old one's out of the way. There's just not enough room for both the old self and the new self within each of us. It's like that old cowboy movie that says, there ain't room in this town for the two of us. The difference is that the new self won't go out and have a shootout with your old self. You have to do it. You have to be wanting to do it. The Ruach wants to be within you to help you to be that new you. But he will not until you make the decision to remove the old self from yourself as best you can. That doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. He's not looking for perfect. He was looking for those who are making the effort. Once you do, then we will know the truth of 2 Corinthians 5 will be magnified in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is a Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, in writing this, takes it directly from Isaiah 43 and Psalm 65. He basically quotes the Tanakh. He says, because Tanakh says, you have to kill and forget the past so that the new things of Adonai will have room within you. You have to make the room in you by the death of the old you. He knew that scripture said that the old must be gone before the new to come. We as believers should ask, is this the only time that the new's to come? Is this only one time that we put ourselves to death to make the old dead, to make room for a new self? This making of new self is not really a one-time thing, though. Even King David asked God for continuing help to keep him on the path that Adonai had for him. David in Psalm 51 wrote this after the prophet Nathan came to him after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Knowing that he sinned against God, here is how he pleaded to God in Psalm 51. 12 in the Hebrew scriptures, Psalm 51:10 in the English scriptures. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Take not your Ruach HaKodesh from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. David's use of the word create seems to indicate a newness that he wanted. But actually, it was a renewal of old things. When King David cries out to Adonai to create a clean heart with him, he wasn't saying, take out the old heart and give me another new heart that's clean. That's different. But instead, He was asking to help rebuild the old heart, to renew the old heart back to where it had been previously, to help him follow the leading of the Ruach HaKodesh as he had previously. As believers, this is where we are supposed to be as well. When we cry out to Adonai for a new heart, to be cleansed by him, to be allowed into heaven, it should not be because we believe that we have, because what we have is no longer good enough, but because we just need to get a course correction from him. Our faith is that the blood is enough to cover everything, but only if we open ourselves up to be renewed by him. Our faith is that the blood is enough to cover everything. This is the reason that we can read 2 Corinthians 4:16. And when we do, it's not a statement of defeat, but one of victory. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. So many people, even believers, want to focus on that first part. Looking at the outward man, the flesh that we all have, and the flesh that's decaying. But what we need to see is that each day there is a newness for us, in us, when we continue to grow in him through the Ruach HaKodesh. There's a newness that we are to claim each and every day. We are not to look backwards towards the old man, backwards towards the flesh, which I'll admit cries out fairly loudly, fairly often, come to me. But we need to put that aside because of the renewing each day of by the word and by the Ruach HaKodesh. When we listen correctly and act on what we hear from the Ruach, we are renewed and we are changed each and every day. There is a newness, but it's not a brand newness as the world wants to think of it. Because we don't need to be made brand new to be walking with him. Even when we slip, he holds our hand so that even when we do slip, we never fall too far from him. What we're called to do is to live our lives as if we are new each and every day. We are to follow the instructions of Torah and to follow the encouragement that was written in Ephesians by Rav Shaul. Chapter 4, 22. With respect to your former lifestyle, you are to lay it aside, the old self corrupted by its deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness of holiness. When we allow Adonai make us new, to make you new, it means that you are to remove your old self. You have to remove the things of the world that cause you to sin so that you can take on the nature of Adonai. This is how he makes you new. We all know it would be a lot easier if he just did it himself. If all we had to do was say, okay, God, you do it. Doesn't work that way. He's given you free will. That's to make the choice, and that's to take the steps that you need to take those steps. That's the encouragement we get when we hear Shaul's writing in Romans 12. And in fact, really, throughout most of Scripture, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, such you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't be conformed. It's just another way of saying, don't be turned into one of those of the world. The encouragement is to allow Adonai to renew your mind so that you can be more discerning to what God wants to for you, wants from you, wants to do through you. By allowing the laying aside of things of the world so that the Ruach can have full reign in your life and mind, you're opening yourself up to new things happening in your life, new things happening through your life for others. What are these new things? They're the things that we see in Scripture that would be new to us, perhaps, but they're not new to Him. They're not new to Adonai. We see things done by the Ruach and we think, wow, that's brand new. I've never seen that before. But for the Ruach, it can be something that He's done who knows how many times. All over the world. Just not for you until just then. So it's new to you, but it's not new to Him. This is His desire, to do a new thing for you. This could include changes in us or changes of those around us, including circumstances around us. It could be healings. It could be reconciliations of relationships, deliverances from addictions, even salvation. He did and does these things for both Jewish and Gentile people. It's easy to look at Scripture from where you are and want to interpret it as that is for there and them and back then alone. Reading the New Covenant as a Jewish person and saying, that's for you people, not for me. Or you could be reading it as a Gentile, reading the Old Covenant and saying, that was for them then. The truth is that Adonai sent one Messiah for everyone, regardless where they started from or where they are currently. And of course, one of the most famous verses from John, starting in John 3:14 and running up to it. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. The serpent was not lifted up just for one group of people, but for all who would look upon it. And here Yeshua is being compared to that bronze snake that healed those that were bitten by the serpent. It didn't matter who they were, because there were Gentiles among the Jewish people back then who came out of Egypt. Everyone got healed the same way by that bronze serpent that was put on the pole. Everyone gets healed the same way by the Messiah that was put on the stake. He did it before. He'll do it again. He's still doing it today. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For He who is our shalom, the one who made the two into one and broke down the middle wall of separation, within His flesh He made powerless the hostility, the law code of mitzvot contained in regulations. He did this in order to create within Him one new man from two groups, making shalom to reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put the hostility to death. And he came to proclaim shalom to you who are far away, and shalom to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by the same Ruach. Now, I want to point out something important here. Look what it said there. It said, even though he was talking to Gentiles, that you were able to be renewed by the same God as the Jews. Renewed to the one God, removing the wall of separation. And Shaul said that Adonai made powerless the hostility. And towards the end of this passage, he also said this, that he put it by Adonai, Yeshua's death. He put the hostility to death. He doesn't say he put Torah to death. He put the hostility towards Torah to death. He never called Torah to be dead. Still, and there's still Jew and Gentiles, because there's still work to be done by Jews and Gentiles. We're made one in spirit now, in times when we're before the throne. Yes, we will be one again. I'm running out of time, and I got too many pages to go. Regardless of how far you are or have been, Jew or Gentile, he wants to be close to you. This is why Jeremiah 26:11 says this. I'm going to skip ahead. Jeremiah 21:10. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:10, the first slide. For thus says Adonai, after 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will visit you and fulfill my good word towards you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for salvation and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found by you, says Adonai, and I will return you from exile and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Adonai, and I will bring you back to the place from which I remove you as captives to exile. Now, the thing that we have to remember about that is what he said just before that in Jeremiah 29:8. For thus says Adonai, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are among you or your diviners beguile you, and pay no attention to the dreams which you make them keep dreaming. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them. This is a declaration of Adonai. While in exile, false prophets were saying good things to them. False prophets were saying, don't worry, God loves you. Everything's going to be great and hunky and dory. Don't worry. That was not God's word for them, though. It's not the word for our Jewish people today, either. There are false prophets in the world who just want to say, you're Jewish, everything's going to be fine. God, it loves you. You don't need anything else. Because they're pointing you away from Torah. They're pointing you away from the promises of Adonai. They're pointing you away from the word. Why listen now? Because in the past, Israel didn't listen. Adonai wanted them to listen, but they didn't listen. Today, this generation has a choice to make, just like every generation had a choice to make. Should I listen to Adonai, or should I listen to the rabbis? Do I listen to Adonai's word, or do I listen to false prophets? Sorry to put it so bluntly. I deny wants to change your heart, not just for now, but for all eternity. He says, I will give you life everlasting before the throne of Adonai. All you need to do is accept the old things, and they will become new to you. You just need to accept the Messiah that he promised, the Messiah of old, and that Messiah will become new to you. But you have to take the step. You have to accept that his old is meant to be new for you today. So if you don't believe, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, there's a step to be made. That step is to accept Adonai, to accept his Messiah, to accept the blood, to be cleansed by it, so that you can have a place before the throne for all eternity. That old thing is to be new to you. Because that old thing was the true thing. And it was true then. It's true now. It'll be true tomorrow. Because God's truths are always the truth. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your truths that never, ever fail us. We just ask that for those who've heard the word will hear and know your truth and approach you as their God and Messiah as their Messiah. Amen.